It's good to be here tonight, and good that each one of us is here that we might fulfill the Lord's purpose of seeking to edify one another and to be edified. I thought it'd be good for us to deal with 1 John 1:7 tonight, and we won't spend all of our time here, but we will spend enough time to note that there is a problem with the wrong interpretation to this scripture, and I thought it'd be good to look at what the truth is in the scriptures and notice what this scripture actually means from all the other scriptures in the Bible that deal with this subject. 1 John chapter 1, and we're looking now at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, there are two different parts of this scripture that are misused. The one that I want to deal with pointedly tonight is, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That cleanses us from all sin, if we walk in the light. Now, the part about cleansing us from all sin is not forgiving, because cleansing is in our hearts, not in the book of God. We dealt with that some time ago. Now I'd like to deal with the first part here. If we walk in the light, that's our part of the covenant, as he is in the light. So what does it mean then to walk in the light? Well, we need to notice that second part. There are many different kinds of light in this world, but there's one kind of light that comes from God. And here he says, if we walk in the light, how? As he is in the light. So how is God in the light? That's what we want to understand tonight. And secondly, how do we walk in the light? What does that mean? And many misinterpret the scripture and understand this some way like the Gnostics in the first century did. Gnostics in the first century were known as Gnostics because they had this secret knowledge. And if you understood that secret knowledge or joined their group, you would have that secret knowledge, and then that would mean that you were saved. If you didn't have that secret knowledge, then of course you were lost. And there are many different kinds of Gnostics, and each one had his own little knowledge that you had to have in order to be saved. And this is somewhat like that. If you understand what it means to walk in the light, namely to understand or to know a certain doctrine, then you're going to be saved. But if you don't happen to know that doctrine, if you're blind to it, to this interpretation of the scriptures, then of course you're going to be lost. And this kind looks down their nose at other people and they say, well, you don't understand this, therefore you're lost. Well, what does it mean then to walk in the light? That's what we need to understand. In John the 12th chapter, verses 32 to 36, the Jews did not believe Jesus' teaching. And Jesus had something to say about that. Verse 32, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto myself." This he signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man shall be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Now, Jesus then responds to their question. He doesn't answer it, but he does warn them. And he says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness knoweth not where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself." Now, why would he run and hide himself when he's teaching these people they need to walk in the light? And of course, the reason was because they were in darkness. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, they were not receiving the words of Christ because they were walking in darkness, and they loved the darkness rather than the light. Matthew 6, verse 22 and 23, Jesus many times described men's hearts in terms of darkness and light. And here is a specific term of what it means to walk in the light. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, we can understand at least generally what he's talking about here, though we may not understand every individual word at first glance. But the light of the body is the eye. It's what we see with and what comes into our bodies. And what are we as far as our light is concerned? If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? So do we have light in ourselves? Now, we'll come back to the context of that later. But let's turn now to Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 11 to 14. Paul was inspired to teach somewhat of the same lesson here. And again, throughout this lesson, we're trying to understand what it means to walk in the light. Verse 11, "And that knowing the time that now is, high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Now, what does it mean to be sleeping? Then in verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." There's the light. The day is at hand. The night is far spent. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. So here we're, it's high time that we awake out of sleep. And he says the night is far spent. We're supposed to have come out of this darkness and we're supposed to be in the day. And he says the day is at hand. So he says, let us cast off all those former works of darkness and let's walk in the light. Let's cast off the works of darkness. Then in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. There's walking in the light. Walking honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Then what does it mean to walk in the day in verse 14? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So he's got light and darkness here. He's got the lust of the flesh, the ways of the world, and he's got the ways of God and the armor of light. And he wants us to turn away from all these works of darkness that the world is walking in. In John, the first chapter, verses 4 and 5, John 1, verses 4 and 5. This is an interesting expression about the light here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So Jesus now was there. He was the light. And what was happening with the people around them? The darkness did not even recognize that the light was there. They were that blind. In John, the third chapter, verses 19 through 21, he describes how Jesus is the light. John, the third chapter, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And what do we see here in the world today? Do men love God and love the things of God, the scriptures? Or are they saying we need to get God away from us as far as we can? We can't mention God in school anymore, not unless it's a curse word. And we can't have the Bible in school anymore or in college. We can't have the word God or anything to do with religion, because the atheists are all unhappy with it. And men are putting the Bible and God further and further away. What does that testify according to these words right here? Those that hate the light are those that are evil. And they don't come to the light. Why? Because it'll be manifest their deeds are evil. Why don't they just ignore us? Just go away, let us do our thing, let them do their thing, as the world calls it. Well, the reason is because we condemn them because of what we don't do. And they want to get all this away from us. And they're trying to force us to accept all these evil things around us. And if we speak out against it, even in a sermon, we're liable to be put in prison or something, at least something bad happened to us. Why? They hate the light. And they will not come to the light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. In John, the 7th chapter, in verse 7, we find the same truth in a little different words here. And we need to be following the Master. And so we need to accept the price that it calls in order to follow the Master. John 7, verse 7, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." So Jesus was hated. Why? Well, somebody says they didn't hate him. They followed him around. They got all these miracles. They got all this food from him. Now, it's true. They did that. But what did they think of the speaker? What did they think of the healer? What did he say here? This is Jesus' words. "The world cannot hate you, but me it hates." And why does it hate Jesus? Because they hate the light. And Jesus testifies by his words that their deeds are evil, and they hate that. And so they don't want to come to the light. John, the 12th chapter, verse 25 and 26, he describes the same kind of people. And I think we can identify with these because we got the very same kind of people today. Man has not changed. Now, whether we call them Jew or Gentile, they're all the same. He says, "He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now, those that love their own life love the darkness. And those that are willing to lose their life love the light. And losing one's life for Christ and the gospel is to love the light. Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 17 and 18. Acts 26, verses 17 and 18. This is Jesus now comforting Paul. And it's interesting how he comforts Paul and describes what Paul's job is in terms of light and darkness. He says in verse 17, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me." So Paul's job was then to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. And we notice in Colossians, the 1st chapter, verse 13, that all those that are not of the light are in captivity by Satan. Colossians 1, verse 13, he says, "Who hath delivered thee, delivered us from the power," and that word is exousia, 1849, the Greek, authority. "He's delivered us from the power of darkness and hath delivered us unto the kingdom of his dear Son." There's light. So he's delivered us from all this darkness. How? By his marvelous light. And so before we're delivered from darkness, we're in captivity. We're under the authority of Satan. In John, the 8th chapter, in verse 12, Jesus makes a promise here that is very encouraging to me. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying," John 8, 12, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now, as we follow Jesus, do we follow one particular truth of what Jesus taught, or do we follow everything that Jesus taught? Was only one part of what Jesus taught the light and everything else was nothing or darkness? Or is everything that Jesus taught part of the light? And so if we walk in the light, how are we going to be walking? Not in one secret little thing. We're going to be walking in everything that Jesus teaches. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, Ephesians teaches much concerning light and darkness. Here's the first one, Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you Christians in Ephesus, that you henceforth, from now on, walk not as the other Gentiles walk." Don't walk like everybody else. How did the Gentiles walk? In the vanity of their mind. Now, if he'd said in their sins, we could all understand that. But he doesn't say just sin here. He says, don't walk like the Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their mind. And verse 18, why are they walking in vanity? And what is vanity? We all know what that is. "Having their understanding darkened." There's your darkness. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. All these words describe darkness. And we don't want to be walking like that. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, and verse 16, the Lord describes the world that Jesus came into, and it's quite a world that he walked into. There was a little light before him, but look what he says here. Matthew 4, verse 16, the people that sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. So when Jesus came into the world, what was there? He said, he came into the world of darkness. Men did not know the truth of God. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 34 and 35. When Jesus came, he didn't just bring a little bit of light. He brought a specially bright light. Matthew 13. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And out of parables spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So here is a new light that no one had ever seen before. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Hebrews, the 5th chapter and verse 14. Jesus now reveals more specifically what is darkness and what is light, what is evil and what is good. Hebrews 5:14. Here is a Christian who has grown and is strong. And this Christian then can eat this solid food. He calls it here strong meat. Belongs to them that are of full age. There's that word teleos, perfection. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. When we discern between good and evil, we're discerning between darkness and light. And that's what the strong Christian is. Christ is the one that brings that light so we know what is darkness and what is light, and we're the ones that search it out. John, the 1st chapter, verses 6 through 8. John the Baptist came before Christ, but John brought some light, but not like Jesus did. John, the 1st chapter, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not, talking about John the Baptist, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And so Jesus now is described as light. And that's, of course, in opposition to darkness. Now, in Luke, the 1st chapter, it's not as though John did not have any light. And it's not as though John didn't have any new light. But compared to Christ, he was not the light that God had promised would come into the world. Luke 1, verse 76. And thou, child, this is John the Baptist's father prophesying, Zechariah, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people. There's light. By the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, wherefore the day spring from on high hath visited us. Day spring, there's your daylight, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So John was prophesied to bring the light and to testify to the one who was called the light. And that person would bring a great light. So in Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 32, he tells specifically that Jesus would lighten the Gentiles. This is Simeon speaking as he's prophesying in the temple. And a light, talking about Jesus, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So this is the light that we need to walk in. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7, God commanded his light to shine out of the darkness. Now, as we look around us, I think this world is getting darker and darker. And the light is here, but they hate the light. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That verse is rich here. Here, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And where did it shine? It shined in our hearts, our spiritual hearts. And what did it do in our hearts? It gave the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And so here in the scriptures, we have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And that can shine in our hearts. And how do we see that light of the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. Now, he's not talking about his physical face. We don't know what his face looked like or what color eyes he had, what color hair he had. That's not the face he's talking about. He's talking about the heart of Jesus, the face of his spiritual heart. And so we can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's a glorious light. Now, what does the world see? They see that body on the cross. What do we see? Well, if we see like they do, we're seeing in darkness. We're seeing physically. But if we see the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, then we're seeing correctly. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 20, it's through this light that we escape the pollutions that are in the world. When we first turn to the Lord, we don't know what's pollution and what is light. Why? Because we've been taught by the world. And the world has convinced us of what is good and what is evil. But as we come to the light, we begin to see much of what the world calls good is evil, and much of what the world calls evil is good in God's sight. And so he says, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world," how? "Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning." So how did they escape from the pollution in the world? They had to have the light of God. In Ephesians, the second chapter, the first verse, we were all involved in these different pollutions, including Paul. He said, "You hath he quickened," that is, made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." He said, now, you Ephesians, you used to walk there just like the rest of the world walked, among whom we all, talking about himself, Paul says, we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the others. What does the world say? If it feels good, do it. Well, what does the Lord say? We need to find out what is good and what is evil. And we need to turn from all these desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. In Acts, the 23rd chapter and verse 1, Acts 23 and verse 1, Paul had a good conscience during that time that he lived in darkness. He didn't understand that he was in darkness at that time. Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Well, from the time he was born until now, he said, "I've lived in all good conscience unto this day." Well, he just told us here, I used to walk according to the course of this world just like everybody else. Now, he wasn't an adulterer. He wasn't evil in the sense of what the world calls evil. Even the world calls some of these things evil. But that's not what Paul was involved in. He was just involved in himself and, as he said, the traditions of his fathers. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verse 14, he encourages us that as we walk in the light, that we should not have fellowship with those who are in darkness. So what does it mean then to walk in the light? It means to leave those who are in darkness. And he says, "Be not unequally yoked together," 2 Corinthians 6:14, "with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light and darkness?" And we need to think about that. If we're truly going to be walking in the light as he is in the light, then we're not going to be having fellowship with those who are walking in darkness. We can't walk in both worlds at the same time. Let's go back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. where he describes more of this light. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, we'll read verses 6 through 17. He tells the Ephesians, let no man deceive you with vain words. So he's talking about something that is not easy to understand. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be walking in that darkness. For you were sometimes darkness. When, like Paul, they walked in the world, the ways of the world, the course of this world. But now are you children, a light in the world. Walk as children of light. And if we're a child of light, we're going to be walking in the light, not in darkness. And then he talks about the unfruitful works of darkness in verse 11. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He doesn't call it wickedness. What does he call it? Unfruitful. When something's unfruitful, it's a vanity. We can do it all day. It may not be sin, but it's a vanity. It's unfruitful. And what does he say? He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So what about all these vanities then in the world? And then in verse 12, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Well, they do many things in secret. They also do many things outside. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. That's why they won't come to Christ. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, there's your darkness, and arise from the dead, that's darkness, and Christ shall give you light. But you got to wake up. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord as we walk in the light? We need to know that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, it takes care and concern to keep walking in the light. Now, we may start off and find ourselves migrating toward the darkness. But he said, brethren, you are not in darkness. Now that's where they were heading. That day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, that's serious-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So he describes all that in terms of light and darkness. And he says, don't go to sleep. Stay awake. Keep walking in that light and following the light of Christ. Let's turn to 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 7. 1 John chapter 1. And we read again what we started off there in verse 7. But we see the context now. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message that you heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So what does it mean then to walk in the light? Well, here he says in verse 5, this is what he's declaring to us. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, how do we walk? In him is no darkness at all. When we're walking in sin, are we walking in the light? No, we need to walk fully in the light and turn away from all darkness. And verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Well, we don't want to be liars. So how can we walk in the light and say we walk in the light and be true? By walking only in the light. We've got to overcome these things of evil. And we all know Matthew 5:14, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So what then in Matthew 5:16 does it mean to walk in the light? Let men see your good works, and they'll glorify the Father which is in heaven. So we need to let our light shine by doing these good works. That's one way we walk in the light. What if we do evil works? What if we're sinning? Are we walking in the light? Matthew, the 6th chapter, we'll go back to this. We just read verses 22 and 23 about the light of the body is the eye. What is the context now of that verse where he encourages us to have light in ourselves? Well, verse 19 is one context. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth doth corrupt, moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. What's the context? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Turn away from all these material things. Then verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what's the context there in talking about the light of the body is the eye? And that is mammon and laying up material things for ourselves on earth. And then verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than the raiment? What's he telling us? These material things God will add to us. We don't need to worry about those things. We don't need to set our minds on it. And that's what he says in verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles, that's the world, seeks. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So how do we have light in ourselves? In this context, we turn away from these material things. They're not important. God will make sure we have enough to live, food and clothing, and that's all he's promising here. And he does promise if we seek the kingdom first, he'll add these things. So how do we walk in the light in this context? By turning away from material things to spiritual, eternal things. Romans, the 6th chapter, he tells somewhat the same. Romans 6, verse 21. He challenges us, while you were walking there in darkness, he said, what fruit did you have? He says, what fruit then had you, and those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So he's reminding them about the time they were walking in darkness, and he tells these Romans, you are ashamed of what you did back in that time. Well, unfortunately, some of us are not always ashamed of what we do like the world. But at least these Romans did. But he challenges us. What fruit do we have in all these vanities that are in the world? Is there anything eternal in them? The wise man was encouraging us to think about eternal things in Ecclesiastes. In chapter 12, he's making the conclusion there. And he starts off here in verse 8, the same as he did in the beginning of the book. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And he talks about what is under the sun. Anything the sun shines on is physical. It doesn't shine on our spiritual heart. The sun doesn't shine on kindness or purity or holiness. The sun shines on these material things. And what does the wise man say about all these material things, the advantage of them? Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Then verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now let's sit on this verse for just a moment here. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. What about all these vanities that I'm involved with? What am I going to say on judgment day when he asks me about these vanities? Am I going to be proud of them and say, oh yeah, I won that game? Or I did this vanity and I'm very happy about it? What am I going to be saying about all these things on judgment day? He says, I'll be judged for every secret thing and every work that I've done. On judgment day, if we have repented And the only thing we do in word or in deed, we do all in the name of the Lord, all in the Lord's work. Will we have to be ashamed? We won't be ashamed, and the Lord will glorify us. He says, if anyone serves my Son, he says, him will my Father honor. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. And notice another reason why he wants us to walk in the light. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's our context. What day is it? Revelation of Jesus Christ, Judgment Day. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance when you walked in darkness, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God walks in the light. He's only doing those things that are good. Then in chapter 2, verse 12, here's another reason. He says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, 1 Peter 2:12, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now think of that. Here, let your conversation be honest among the Gentiles. That's the world. As the world is watching us, remember we're the light of the world. And what does the world do about that light here in this verse? They speak against you as evildoers. So what do they think of the light? Very same thing the Jews did. And so we say, well, you know, here I am. I'm light in the world, and they're looking at me, but they think I'm darkness, and so they're speaking evil against me. But that's not the end of the story. Listen to the rest here. That they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He's looking at Judgment Day. And you know, that's the day when not just a few people will see what I've done, everybody's going to see what I've done. Everybody. They'll see all the good, they'll see all the evil. And the Lord wants us to be light. And here he's showing us how we can be light in the world on Judgment Day. The Queen of Sheba will stand up. Is she going to be light? The people of Nineveh are going to stand up. Are they going to be light, at least that much light? Yes, and Paul will stand up, the apostles will stand up, they'll be light, and they'll glorify God, and these people in the world will glorify God on that day. Why? Because of what they see us do now. Now notice they're speaking against us as evildoers now, but what's going to happen on Judgment Day? What's God's plan? He says, I want you to be light in the world. And whether the world around us sees us or not, that really doesn't matter. Who sees us? The one who is light. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Christ will cleanse us. It'll cleanse our hearts, make us pure. And out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth will speak. And the tongue is the driving force of the body, controls the body. What kind of body works are we going to be doing if our heart is right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The tongue is the one that guides this body. So we can be light, and we can be children of light. So what does it mean to walk in the light and not in the darkness? It's to walk according to the truth of God. The wisdom of Christ, the words of Christ, the words of God. It's not talking about a little bit, it's talking about all of it. So if we're willing to walk in the light, what's the promise of God? Everybody has that promise. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you don't have that promise yet. You need to repent, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins, be baptized to wash away your sins, Acts 22, verse 16. And then be buried with Christ and raised to walk in the new life in the family of God. If you need the prayers of the church, we would encourage you to respond to the invitation now while we stand together and sing. When the trumpet...